Greetings, clients and friends of the Showalter Group. This is for your elevation, not for your information, but for your elevation for November of 2023. We're talking this week about cohort segmentation in research and how that affects your communications for advocacy or political action committee work. Should you pay attention to it? If so, how much? And why is this on my brain? Well, it's on my brain because I attended a conference a few weeks ago where a researcher on Gen Z presented her data in terms of how Gen Z looks at life, and I'm sure, and how other generations look at life as well, and the dynamic that we all face of having four generations in the workplace now, and how that can affect our communications, our PAC fundraising communications, and our advocacy communications. However, I have a trigger warning for some of you in that it's not quite that easy to look at a generation and say, ah, they're idealistic at this age, therefore I'm going to send a hopeful message. Or these people seem to be cynical at this particular age, so I'm going to send this kind of message. I wish it was that easy. It's not. However, there's a hope alert in terms of how you can get through all of this. As many of you know, because you've hired us to do this, Dr. Rhodes and I have conducted quite a bit of proprietary client research on what predictive analytics relative to PAC giving and advocacy. We always include demographic questions in the research. We always include a question that says, what decade were you born? And what we found, and what the research has found, academic peer-reviewed research, which I will share with you momentarily, has found is that the stage of one's life tends to be more important than the cohort, than that generation. For example, if I am a single woman attending graduate school, but I've been at my same employer for 10 years, I probably am at a stage of life that's a bit different than a single dad in his late 20s. My ethnicity might matter as well on that. But if I was taking a simple cohort approach to that, I would just say, well, they're in this generation, therefore they think this way. And we've found very clearly that it's the knowing the page number in the chapter of the book of life that you're on that matters the most. And I've heard many PAC professionals say, gosh, a common objection I get from people is, I've got two kids in college. Well, that's a stage of life. There could be people that same age as the parent who has two kids in college that does not have children in college. So they don't have the same dynamic, the same situation. But if you were using a simple cohort approach, you would use the same communications to them because you've been told that they all think the same. You know, it kind of reminds me, and I love Myers-Briggs testing and so forth, some of the different personality assessments, DISC and so forth that are out there. However, where we get into trouble with these things just in the workplace is assuming that because someone is a certain age or has a certain predilection in their communication style, or you're an INTJ, that we label them a bit and say something like, well, that's just what I think an INTJ would do. You sound just like a boomer, or you millennials, you're all the same. None of you want to work hard, you know, or something of that nature. That's what we do. So we don't look at people as individuals, and that's a mistake for PAC and advocacy communications, whether written, verbal, however you communicate. One of the presenter's findings said that the Gen Z population is disgusted by politics. I thought that's interesting because I've seen lots of other research that shows they're very idealistic. But wasn't every generation very idealistic? Everybody's idealistic when they're younger. That's a stage of life. So what we've found in our research is that actually the younger generations tend to be more open towards engagement. They may not have the money, though, because of the stage of life. So you can look at the general attitudes, but you only know when you're conducting your own custom research to really know the precise way to communicate. So let's go to the research. And I won't read them all to you. I'll read just a few. Dr. Rhodes found about 15 different research references to cohort segmentation, and we actually pulled these for a client who had us conduct some PAC research, and we didn't see big differences in ages in terms of PAC giving. And frankly, they were a little gassed at that. They thought for sure that there had to be differences, stark differences between the different generations in terms of their contributor or non-contributor status. And we just didn't see that. So we pulled some research for them to bring this to light a little more. I'll share just a few highlights for your listening pleasure on this. This is from Stephanie Nobley and Charles Schwu in the Journal of Business Research said, quote, to date, little empirical evidence exists to support the notion of cohorts. Instead, family upbringing, religious and ethnic ideologies, and peer influences might predict values better than these external events. David Costanza and Lisa Finkelstein, she's from Northern Illinois, he's from GWU, in the Journal of Industrial and Organizational Psychology, said this, quote, stereotypes about generational differences in the workplace are unfounded and ill-advised, period. There is little solid empirical evidence supporting the existence of generationally based differences. Almost no theory supporting any reason behind such differences, and plenty of viable alternate explanations for any differences that are observed, unquote. Jennifer Mensel and Scott Lester in the Journal of Leadership and Organizational Studies say, quote, results show the generations were similar on 7 of the 10 work values examined. Findings demonstrated that generations share more similarities than differences regarding the extent to which work factors are important, unquote. Let me give you a sidebar comment here. We have found in our proprietary research that to be true as well, that actually that you'll find what people have in common more than what separates them if you're doing the research properly. And we have found many, many similarities among generations that helps the client create their communications more quickly and knowing that they're on safe, persuasive ground with them based on the fact that Gen Z has a particular value and the boomers have that same value. And one of them that I'll share with you is trust in the government relations department. Now, it can be trust that the government relations department is representing your interests. It could be trust that the government relations department accurately represents you, that, you know, that the questions have to be precise, wording matters. So just general trust doesn't tell you a lot, but you want to have a real precise question there. So we found that trust transcends ages and it is a predictor of PAC engagement. Lastly, Sebastian and Chloe Soulez research on recruitment marketing and generational segmentation said, quote, as the qualitative phase of our study demonstrates, belonging to the same generation is less important than other variables such as level of education. The concept of generation, therefore, seems to be a global one, oversimplified compared to the great diversity and increased complexity of the job market, unquote. So, My hope alert is that, the cold equation is that your communications should be customized, nuanced, and nimble without assuming that someone's generation or decade that they're born will give you a magical methodology for communicating to them in a way to get them engaged in your grassroots advocacy or contribute to your PAC. So if you need help on this, you know where to find us. So proceed accordingly with your communications. And this is Amy with For Your Elevation.